So I think the question that kind of came up for me in the gospel today was, in my words, it was this. Who is Jesus in my daily life? Who is Jesus? I know it's such a basic question. It's like, I know who Jesus is, Father. But for real, like, really, who is Jesus in my daily life? Because I really believe that that determines everything for us. Everything. Everything you decide, everything you will love, everything you will do. For instance, we often think that, and we just feel this way, it's a normal human thing, but when things are going well, I feel like God is close to me. He's with me and he's there, right? And then when things are going bad, we feel like somehow God's distant. Maybe he's abandoned me. He's not present. He's not there in some way. And it's certainly a normal human feeling, but it's not what Jesus says in the gospel. It's actually not who he is. So who is Jesus in your daily life? Today we hear from the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke, and he sets out right away why he's writing his gospel. He says, the reason I'm writing this gospel is so that you can have certainty about the teachings you have received. What teachings? About who Jesus is. In the gospel, we have certainty about who Jesus is. So when Jesus then goes to his hometown in our gospel today, he goes to Nazareth. Now I just want you to pause there for a moment. Jesus went to his hometown. Like, that's how real he is in our daily life. This was his town he grew up in. Jesus was raised there. These are the places he played and the people he played with as a kid. These are his friends. He knows who married who and how their children and how their families are doing, right? It was a small town. Everybody knew everything about everyone, right? Him and Joseph probably worked for these people. They maybe built some of their houses. So when Jesus comes to that town, to those people, and he wants to reveal who he is to them, he opens the book of Isaiah, and he reads the passage we had today in our gospel. What he's saying is, this is who I am. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. This is who Jesus is. You know, I meet and I talk with a lot of people in my priestly ministry. And everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. And life's messy. And sometimes things happen in our life that affect us. Death and tragedy and abuse and broken families and a pandemic. And they form wounds in us. We're wounded by these things in a spiritual way, we can say. And in those places, often a place where we feel very alone. We feel alone in that place. But Jesus said in the gospel that, no, actually, you're not alone there. That's precisely the place where I come. That's who I am. I came to bring glad tidings to the poor. Liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to those who are oppressed to give them freedom. The place where we're suffering, Jesus is telling us today, no, that's who I am. That's precisely where I come into your life, is where you are suffering, where you are hurting, and where you need healing. God works in the messiness of our lives. That's where he comes. You know, this was really driven home to me by listening to the Bible in Your podcast. I've talked about that a lot this year. It was actually 1 year ago on this day that I first talked to you about it. And so I did pretty good. I didn't get in there right away, so I've got a few weeks left to catch up for the Bible in a year. But it's been so powerful. If you didn't listen to it last year, or you started and you finished, I encourage you. He just rolled over to 2022. You can start right over. Go on a podcast. Listen, it's so easy to go through the Bible with Father Mike Schmitz leading it, okay? The first thing that really struck me as I thought back on it was what I just said. God has always worked in the messiness of his people. I mean, it was a mess. I don't think I remembered studying in seminary, remember just how much of a mess it really was. You know, God told Moses, here's the covenant and be faithful and I'll take care of you. And they weren't faithful. And they went from bad to worse as you went through the judges and the kings and all the prophets. And you're like, holy smokes. And so we shouldn't be surprised when maybe some people are not faithful and it goes from bad to worse. The point, though, is that God was still working in the Bible. God's still working in all of it. In the mess is where he works. The other thing I really got was just how God speaks. Because the scripture, it's God speaking to his people. Like, what's his voice sound like? The voice of God is loving. And it's caring. And it's also strong. And he speaks truth. And that there are real consequences for not listening. This is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. This is how Jesus speaks to us. In the messiness of our lives, he comes and he speaks to us precisely right there in that place. Where's the place you need Jesus to speak to you today? He comes with his voice. Now I want to take all this and apply it to a specific thing this weekend, this particular weekend. Yesterday was the March for Life in St. Paul. It was the anniversary of Roe versus Wade since 1973. And I really wanted to go to it. I wasn't able to go because I got by Henderson there and there were already 10 cars in the ditch and I was swerving and I thought I was going in the ditch. I turned around and came home. But I heard there was a good crowd. Some of the Gustavus students told me they went, so I was glad to hear that. But it's always, just personally, the pro-life has always been something really important to me. I grew up with it, but especially in college. So we used to go with a group, a carload of guys, to the Planned Parenthood Clinic on Ford Parkway on Fridays, because that was the day that they did abortions. And so there was always someone praying on the sidewalk that day. And so we'd go and we'd take an hour and we'd just pray there. You know, something hits you when you're on the sidewalk. And you know what's happening inside the building. And we just prayed. I prayed for the women going in. I prayed for the babies of the ones who were obviously pregnant. I prayed for everybody inside, for the receptionist and the nurse and the doctors. I prayed for Scott, the security guard at the door who watched us. And we just prayed for everyone. This year in particular, I wanted to go because it could be a very important year. The Supreme Court has a case called Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health going. Maybe you've heard of it this year. But depending on how they judge this case, it could be the biggest pro-life case in over 30 years. So I ask you, please pray. Please pray this year for this really important cause, this thing. You know, I received a letter from a young woman at Christmas time. She, a couple years ago, joined the Sisters of Life. I had known her growing up in the parish where I was at. She had gone, actually, to a life rally with us once. And I was so excited when she told me 2 years ago that she was joining the Sisters for Life. If you don't know who the Sisters of Life are, they're a religious order that their sole concern, their purpose, is to help women in difficult pregnancies and situations. To accompany and walk with them and give them all the support and everything they need through the pregnancy and after it. Think about that. The church has a whole religious order devoted to loving mothers and their children both. That's always been the church's way. The church is the biggest runner of a ministry called Project Rachel, which is for healing for women and men who have had abortions in their life because they can receive healing. You see, this is who Jesus is. So that's the point. There's no condemnation here. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is merciful. And his voice speaks, and it's loving, and it's caring, but it's also strong. And he speaks truth. And that there are real consequences. You know, someone sent me a recording a few days ago. It was a recording of BBs dropping into a tin can. And for every BB that drops, he said, this represents 10,000 lives that were lost in the wars of our country. And so you just heard him drop these BBs for every war. The longest one took about 1 second. Just a handful of BBs, like boom, 10,000 lives, every single one. And then he got to abortion. And it went on for 35 seconds. Being poured, BBs poured in. It was jarring, the sound of it. And again, there's no condemnation. But I didn't play it, in fact, because I was like, there's very well someone right here who has been through that, an abortion, or someone who went through one. And that wasn't the point, to make it jarring. That Jesus is merciful. The point is this: who is Jesus? He comes precisely into these situations. That's who he is. That God has always worked in the messiness of our lives. And it's right there that he wants to come, and he wants to work right now, today, again. We believe that. God can work in all these situations. He can work with absent fathers and a family who is without their dad, that he's left her. He can work with a life-threatening prognosis in the womb. That God can work with an unwanted pregnancy, someone too young, or in poverty, or an abusive relationship, and even rape. That God can work in these situations. That in fact, God has always worked in the messiness of his people's lives. That's who he is. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus loved women who came to him with tenderness in Luke's Gospel. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus loved the man who came and prayed for his son. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was the unborn baby in his mom's womb when he went, and John the Baptist was the unborn baby in Elizabeth's womb, who leaped with joy at the visitation of his presence. This is who Jesus is. You know, when you read that long genealogy of Jesus in Matthew and Luke's Gospel, it's really boring, I know. You're like, why are we reading this? But you hear all those names. When you know the stories of Jesus' ancestry, what you realize is everything we're talking about today was all a part of his history. That's Jesus' history. And look what God worked through it. Jesus is here today. And he says, I have come to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. That in every place that needs healing, that needs my presence, that needs his comfort, his care, that's where Jesus comes. Today, this scripture passage, again, is fulfilled in your hearing.